You know that feeling when you walk into like a typical garage, you step out of your car and you're immediately greeted by this dull gray, just perpetually dusty slab of
Oh,
concrete?
yeah. It's usually covered in dirt.
Right. Maybe there's a mysterious oil stain from like 3 cars ago right in the middle, a few hairline cracks spreading out, and this lingering musty smell that just sort of hangs in the air.
It's the one room in the house we basically all collectively agree to ignore.
Exactly. For most of us, it's a completely uninspiring, purely utilitarian space that we just try to hurry through to get inside the actual house.
I mean, we use it to store things we don't want to look at
Yeah.
on a floor we definitely don't want to look at.
Yeah.
We've just accepted that a garage floor is meant to be a dingy space.
But what if I told you that this dusty slab of concrete is actually sitting on a massive amount of untapped real estate potential?
It really is.
Because today's deep dive is taking us straight into the garage and, well beyond it, actually. We've been looking through a really comprehensive stack of research and industry guides from Clever Coatings USA, all about residential epoxy flooring.
Yeah, there's a lot of data there to get through.
There is. And our mission today isn't just to talk about standard home improvement. We are going to unpack the underlying chemistry of these coatings and, more importantly, uncover the specific mechanisms driving up property resale values for homeowners.
Especially in the humid, demanding climate of Florida.
Right. And I'm going to be honest, I have a really hard time believing that changing the floor of a space where we keep, lawnmowers and boxes of holiday decorations can actually shift the economics of selling a house.
I get that. I mean, it
Yeah.
sounds like a stretch until you look at the real estate data. And more importantly, the structural science behind it.
The structural science.
Yeah, we're going to break down what this material actually does to concrete at a microscopic level. Because once you understand the mechanics of how this coating physically interacts with the environment, that financial return on investment suddenly makes complete logical sense.
Okay, well, before we get into the money, let's figure out what we are actually pouring on the floor. Because I think the biggest hurdle for most people, myself included, is assuming this is just like heavy-duty gray paint you roll out on a Sunday afternoon.
Right, and calling it paint is a massive misconception. It's why so many people get completely confused by the price tag of a professional installation.
Because paint is cheap.
Exactly. Paint is essentially just pigment suspended in a solvent. The solvent evaporates and the color just dries on top of a surface. But residential epoxy flooring operates on a totally different chemical level.
How so?
It's a two-part liquid resin system. You have a resin and you have a polyim hardener. When you mix those two specific chemicals together, you trigger a highly exothermic chemical reaction.
Okay, wait, exothermic, like it generates heat.
Yes, exactly. They cross-link. They don't dry. They cure into this incredibly dense, hard, plastic-like polymer.
So they are actively fusing together as you apply to the floor.
They're fusing together, but more importantly, they're fusing to the floor itself. It doesn't just sit on the concrete like a blanket.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, when applied correctly, a high-quality epoxy primer uses capillary action because concrete is essentially this hard microscopic sponge full of tiny pores and air pockets.
Right, it's super porous.
Exactly. So the liquid resin wicks deep down into those open pores. And when the chemical reaction cures, the epoxy hardens inside those capillaries. It creates millions of tiny microscopic anchors that physically lock the coating into the matrix of the concrete slab itself.
Wow, so it becomes a structural part of the floor. It's not just a layer on top it can easily peel off.
Right. And a professional system layers this technology. You start with that penetrating primer, then you apply a thicker base coat.
Okay.
After that, you can add decorative elements like, those vinyl color flakes or quartz crystals you often see.
Oh, yeah, the ones that make it look kind of speckled like granite.
That's the one. They add texture and color. And then finally, the entire system is locked down under a clear, protective top coat. The end result is a completely seamless, non-porous floor.
Wait, okay, if it's a hard, non-porous plastic polymer that locks into the concrete and creates a totally seamless layer, we're basically turning the garage into a giant, indestructible plastic Tupperware container.
That is actually a highly accurate way to visualize it. I like that.
A giant Tupperware for your car.
Yeah, you are effectively shrink wrapping the foundation of that room. You're sealing it completely off from the environment. And when we look at the Florida climate, that Tupperware seal is the entire value proposition.
Because of the swamp. I mean, Florida is basically built on a swamp and the humidity is just
It
relentless.
is. And the humidity isn't just in the air, it's actually in the ground. Florida has immense hydrostatic pressure.
Meaning water pushing up from below.
Exactly. When you have a bare concrete slab, moisture vapor is constantly trying to rise up from the wet ground below, pushing its way through that porous concrete sponge we talked about.
Which explains why untreated garages often have that damp, musty smell.
Right. And from above, you have the threat of mold and mildew settling into those damp, open pores. But by applying this multi-layered epoxy system, you cap that moisture vapor transmission.
You just block it entirely.
You block the water from coming up, and you create a surface that resists mold, mildew, and even chemical stains from above.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense for the ground moisture. But what about the sun? Florida garages get brutalized by the sun, especially if you, you know, leave the door open all day on a Saturday while doing yard work.
Oh, for sure.
Doesn't clear plastic turn a nasty, hazy yellow when it sits in the sun for too long?
It does, and that actually used to be the fatal flaw of epoxy floors. Standard epoxies have a chemical structure containing what are called aromatic rings.
Aromatic rings, okay.
Yeah. And when the intense ultraviolet photons from the Florida sun hit those aromatic rings, they literally break the molecular bonds apart, which visually manifests as a chalky yellow discoloration.
Oh, yuck. Nobody wants a yellow, chalky garage floor.
No, they don't. But the chemistry has evolved to solve this, specifically with an upgrade called a polyaspartic top coat.
Polyaspartic, how does that differ from the epoxy base we just talked about?
Polyaspartic coatings are a type of aliphatic polyurea.
Aliphatic polyurea. Say that three times fast.
Right. But without getting too deep into the organic chemistry, the key difference is that their molecular structure does not contain those vulnerable aromatic rings.
Ah, okay. So there's nothing for the UV photons to break down.
Exactly. There's nothing for them to easily destroy.
Yeah.
So the UV rays essentially just bounce off without degrading the polymer.
That's brilliant.
It is. For Florida garages exposed to intense sunlight, putting a polyaspartic clear coat over the epoxy base ensures the floor keeps its original clarity and color for decades without chalking or yellowing at all.
Okay, so we've built our UV-bouncing, moisture-blocking Tupperware seal. We understand the physical protection. Let's talk about the money.
Let's do it.
How does wrapping my garage floor in a polymer translate to thousands of dollars in resale value when I finally put a for sale sign in the yard?
It comes down to a concept in real estate known as the halo effect. Real estate professionals in highly competitive markets like Orlando and Central Florida track this really closely.
The halo effect, meaning one good thing makes everything else look better.
You hit the nail on the head. When a potential buyer walks into a house and sees a bare, stained, dusty concrete garage, their brain immediately categorizes it as a utility space that requires maintenance. It just feels dirty.
Right. It feels like a chore.
But when they walk in and see a pristine, seamless, gleaming floor that looks like a high-end showroom, that perception flips instantly.
It stops feeling like a shed where cars leak oil and starts feeling like an actual room in the house.
Exactly. And that feeling radiates outward. If a buyer sees that you cared enough to professionally finish the garage floor, they unconsciously assume you were just as meticulous with the HVAC system, the roof, the plumbing.
Oh, wow. I wouldn't have thought of that, but that makes total sense.
It turns a negative, unfinished space into a massive psychological asset. Buyers suddenly envision setting up like a clean home gym or a bright workshop or a spotless play area. Homes with these upgrades consistently show better and spend far fewer days on the market.
I hear the psychology and I buy it. But let me push back on this a little because I am looking at the numbers from the industry data and I have genuine sticker shock.
The initial cost is definitely an investment.
Right, because a standard professional system in Florida costs between $5 and $12 per square foot. So for a standard two-car garage, we are talking about $2,000 to $5,000.
Yeah. That's the going rate for quality work.
So if I am moving in, say, 3 months, how does it possibly make sense to drop $5,000 on the floor of a room where I just parked my car?
It doesn't. You are hitting on the critical variable here, which is your timeline. If you're moving in 3 months, it absolutely does not make financial sense.
Okay, so it's not a quick flip magic bullet.
No, not at all. A $3,000 professional installation is rarely going to yield a direct dollar-for-dollar cash return at the closing table if you flip the house immediately. In that very specific short-term scenario, homeowners usually opt for cheaper cosmetic fixes just to get the house looking decent for real estate photos.
The classic quick fix just to get out the door.
Exactly. But the math flips entirely if your timeline is longer. The general rule of thumb in the industry is the five-year mark.
The five-year mark, okay.
If you plan to stay in the home for 5 years or more, the professional system pays for itself. you are buying years of zero-maintenance living. I mean, no scrubbing oil stains, no sweeping concrete dust out of your house, no damp smells.
You get to actually enjoy a premium extension of your living space for half a decade.
Yes. And then, when you finally do list the house, you still have that immense buyer appeal and halo effect we talked about, because a professionally installed floor will still look brand new 5 years later.
That makes the $5,000 pill a little easier to swallow if you view it as a long-term quality of life upgrade. But since we are talking about price, we have to address the elephant in the room.
The DIY kits.
The DIY kits. I can walk into literally any big box hardware store right now and buy a garage floor kit for like $200. $200 versus $5,000. The temptation to just buy the bucket and roll it out myself is huge.
It is the most common trap homeowners fall into.
Yeah.
And it is a massive false economy.
To me, buying that cheap kit feels a lot like trying to fix a rusted out car fender with a can of spray paint.
That's a great way to put it.
Right. You step back and it looks amazing for about a week, but the rust is still there eating it from the inside out, and pretty soon the paint just falls off in chunks.
That is the perfect analogy, because the failure with DIY kits is almost entirely happening underneath the surface. The industry data shows that those hardware store kits typically fail within 2 to 3 years.
2 to 3 years, that's nothing.
It's nothing. They start peeling, they yellow because they lack that polyaspartic UV protection we talked about, and they suffer from something called hot tire pickup.
Hot tire pickup. I'm assuming that means your tires literally rip the floor up. How does that even happen?
Think about driving on Florida asphalt on a July afternoon. The road is over 140 degrees, and your tires absorb all that heat.
Oh, sure. They get incredibly hot.
When you pull into your garage and park, that thermal energy transfers directly from the heavy rubber into the floor coating. Now, DIY kits are often just heavy-duty water-based paints or weak single-part epoxies. They are thermoplastic, meaning they literally soften when exposed to heat.
Oh, wow. So the hot rubber actually melts the paint beneath it.
Yes. The heat softens the coating, the weight of the car presses the rubber into it, and they bond together.
That sounds like a disaster.
It is. Because when the tire cools down overnight and contracts, it maintains its grip on the paint. You put the car in reverse the next morning, and it literally tears the coating right off the concrete.
You've got to be kidding me.
No. You end up with these bare, ugly, peeling patches exactly where your tires rest. But professional resins are thermosetting. Once they cure chemically, heat does not melt them again.
Well, that entirely defeats the purpose of putting a floor down if you can't even park a car on it. But it's not just the chemicals in the bucket, right? The biggest difference in that $5,000 price tag has to be the labor.
Oh, absolutely. The single biggest predictor of longevity for any concrete coating isn't the brand of the resin. It is the preparation of the concrete.
The prep work.
Yes. If you apply a $5,000 premium coating to a dusty, unground slab, it will fail just as fast as the $200 kit. The crucial step that DIYers skip, mostly because they don't have the equipment, is diamond grinding.
Diamond grinding. That sounds like heavy industrial work.
It is. It requires heavy, expensive machinery. See, when concrete is poured, a weak, dusty layer of cement cream called latents floats to the top and hardens.
Latents. Okay.
If you paint over latents, your coating is clinging to a weak, powdery crust. A professional contractor comes in and grinds that entire top layer off using diamond-encrusted blades, completely exposing the hard structural aggregate beneath.
So they are physically ripping off the top layer of the garage floor to get to the good stuff.
They're opening the pores of the concrete so that capillary action we talked about earlier can actually take place. Furthermore, professionals perform calcium chloride moisture testing before applying anything.
Because of the swamp.
Exactly. If the hydrostatic pressure from the ground is too high, they have to apply specialized moisture mitigating primers first.
Mm-hmm.
You are paying for the heavy machinery, the structural prep, and the moisture management. That is what guarantees the floor survives decades of heavy traffic.
Okay, that completely justifies the cost. I mean, you aren't just paying for shiny paint. You are paying a construction crew to chemically and physically alter your foundation.
Exactly.
So let's say you've made the investment. The pros came in, they diamond ground the slab, managed the moisture, applied the polyaspartic coat, and now the garage looks like a luxury car showroom. If this indestructible Tupperware seal works so well, why stop at the garage?
You don't have to. And honestly, expanding this footprint into the interior of the home is a rapidly growing trend in residential architecture. Homeowners are bringing these systems into basements, mudrooms, sunrooms, and laundry rooms.
The laundry room makes total sense. If a hose bursts on your washing machine, you want a floor that acts like a waterproof pool, not hardwood that's going to warp and rot.
Exactly. And aesthetically, the technology has moved far beyond solid gray utility floors. By mixing metallic pigments into the resin, installers can create floors that look like flowing liquid metal, or seamless marble, or deep textured granite using quartz broadcasts.
That seems beautiful.
It really is. In modern builds, these designer epoxy systems are legitimately rivaling high-end large format tile or polished concrete for living rooms and kitchens.
I can picture that seamless metallic look in a modern kitchen. But I do have an immediate practical concern.
Sure. What's that?
If it's a completely non-porous, super smooth plastic polymer, the second I drop an ice cube or spill a glass of water in the kitchen, doesn't my house turn into a highly dangerous ice skating rink?
That's a great point. Slip resistance is a major concern with standard smooth epoxy. It is inherently slippery when wet. But the solution during installation is actually very straightforward.
Do they just rough it up?
Sort of.
Yeah.
Professionals broadcast a clear, anti-slip aggregate, often microscopic glass spheres or aluminum oxide grit, directly into the final clear top coat before it cures.
So it feels a bit like fine sandpaper.
A very subtle texture, yeah. It provides incredible traction for wet areas like pool decks or kitchens. But because the aggregate is locked inside the clear coat, it doesn't trap dirt or ruin the smooth visual finish of the floor.
Oh, that's clever. Speaking of kitchens, if I want to put this over my outdated 1990s ceramic tile, can the crew just come in, grind the tile down a bit, and pour the magic resin right over it? It would save weeks of demolition.
This is a hard stop. We call this the ironclad substrate rule. The answer is absolutely no.
No exceptions, even if the tile is in, like, perfect condition.
No exceptions. Residential epoxy flooring systems are engineered to bond exclusively to clean, structurally sound concrete. If your existing floor is wood, vinyl, laminate, or tile, epoxy is just not an option.
Why? Is it because those materials don't have the right pores for the resin to wick into?
That's part of it, but the primary reason is flex. Wood and vinyl expand, contract, and flex with temperature and humidity changes much differently than a cured epoxy polymer.
Oh, I see.
And tile has grout lines that shift. If the substrate underneath the epoxy bends even a fraction of a millimeter, the rigid epoxy layer on top will crack, delaminate, and fail completely.
Oh, wow. So you really can't cut corners there.
You can't. If you want the seamless finish inside your home, every square inch of previous flooring must be violently ripped up and removed to expose the bare concrete foundation. Then you start the diamond grinding and moisture testing process from scratch.
That is a massive commitment in sweat equity and demolition. But if you are willing to do the demo and pour the resin, how do you actually live with it day to day? Because traditional floors require a lot of upkeep, you know, waxing hardwood, scrubbing tile grout lines. Is a resin floor high maintenance to keep it looking like liquid glass?
That is the ultimate payoff of the entire system. The maintenance is virtually zero.
Really? Zero?
Because it's a completely seamless, non-porous polymer, there are no grout lines to harbor bacteria, and dirt simply cannot penetrate the surface. All you need is a soft dust mop, a microfiber pad, and warm water.
Just warm water. I don't need any heavy-duty chemical floor cleaners.
You actually need to avoid them.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. Harsh acidic cleaners or even natural remedies like heavy vinegar solutions will slowly eat away at the polymer chains of the polyaspartic top coat over time, completely dulling the finish. A neutral pH cleaner or just warm water is all it takes to wipe up a spill. There is no waxing, no periodic resealing, and no refinishing required, ever.
So if we pull all the threads together, epoxy isn't heavy-duty paint. It is a highly reactive, multi-layer polymer system.
Correct.
When a crew comes in, Diamond grinds the concrete to open the pores and applies the resin. It physically fuses with the foundation of the home. It stops moisture vapor dead in its tracks, bounces UV rays away, and turns raw, vulnerable concrete into a bulletproof, finished space.
That's the perfect summary.
And because it requires zero maintenance and instantly elevates the visual appeal of a home, it completely changes the buyer's psychology.
Yeah.
Making it a serious driver of resale value in places like Florida. It really changes the math on what a garage can be.
It changes the math on the garage entirely. And
yeah.
Honestly, it leaves us with a really interesting trajectory to consider for the rest of the house.
How so?
Well, we've spent this time seeing how sealing a concrete slab changes how buyers value a property, largely by eliminating moisture threats and maintenance.
Right.
As extreme weather, humidity control, and low-maintenance living become the dominant priorities in residential construction, it makes you wonder, How long until future architecture starts skipping traditional flooring entirely?
Oh, wow.
We might be looking at a future where homes bypass wood, carpet, and tile altogether, and are simply built with designer, seamless resin floors poured right over the foundation on day one.
Now that is a fascinating idea to chew on. A whole house built like a luxury, indestructible Tupperware container from the ground up, with no grout lines to ever scrub again. I am entirely on board with that future.
Me too.
Well, thank you for joining us on this deep dive into the surprisingly high-stakes, chemically complex world of concrete coatings. The next time you step out of your car and look down at that dusty, stained gray slab in your garage, I hope you look at it with a brand new sense of possibility. Until next time, keep diving deep.